All right, so we are holding on Zion Amud Aleph, sixth line. We learned yesterday about, we said, Habodik Tzarech Shivato, that person has done B'dikas Chometz, they still need to do Bito Chometz as well. By the way, when we said at the beginning of the Masechta that Rashi had said, if you don't do B'dikah, then you're Oivan Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, and we said, Tosfos asked why, once you Mavatel, that should be good enough. I don't think I clarified then. The Ran gives, we had several explanations on why you need B'dikas Chometz anyway. We had Tosfos' answer that you might eat from it. In particular, the Ran explains, according to that, the point is that you eat Chometz the rest of the year, or actually Tosfos themselves says you eat Chometz the rest of the year, so you might come to eat it on Pesach, etc. But according to Rashi, the Ran explains that the idea is you need either B'dikah or Bito on a Daraisa level, one or the other. So when the Mishnah was written, when the Mishnah was composed and said that you have to be Bodek Chometz, at that point they didn't have the Takana yet, that you have to do Bittel as well. Afterwards, the Chachamim were Mitzaken in the times of the Gemara that you need to be Mevatel as well. And so we were discussing that why do you need to do the Bittel at the time of Dikas Chometz? We said the reason was that you might find a Gluska Yofa later, you might find a nice loaf of bread, and then you're over on it. Either according to Rashi, you're going to hesitate before you get rid of it, and meanwhile, then you're over. According to Tosfos, you're over right away. There is, by the way, in that connection, a Machlokas Rishonim on the question, so if you did the Dikas Chometz, you looked for all the Chometz, and you found all the Chometz that you could. If you didn't do Bittel, and then afterwards you find your Gluska Yofa, or you find some other Chometz, are you in fact over on Bal Yirah or Bal Yimotzeh on it? Do we say you did the, according to the Ran, you would say that not. According to Ran's understanding of Rashi, at any rate, you would say that not. Since you already did the B'dikah, and at the Raisa level, you did everything you could, then you're not over from there. But you have Rishonim who learned that actually in that case, you still would be over because you didn't know about it, and therefore they say you'd need to be Mevatel as well. Anyway, the last thing we said in that connection was you can't be Mevatel after the Chometz becomes Osir, even after the point where it's only Osir Drabbanon, namely during the sixth hour of the day, during the hour before Chatzos, because at that point it's not in your reshus anymore, and you're not able to be mevatel it. So the din of the Gemara, therefore, is you're just mevatel the one time during B'dikas Chometz. Later on, in the time of the Rishonim, the Minhag developed that the Gemara had said, you know, you're not mevatel it in the morning because there's no particular time to be mevatel it. What we do is we mevatel it a second time when we burn the Chometz, and that's a defined time when you're burning the Chometz, so it's easy enough to remember to do the Bittel as well. You're burning the Chometz before the end of the fifth hour, so therefore, it's still in your reshus, and you're able to mevatel it. The difference is that the bittel we do at night, we don't include the chametz that we have, that we do know that it exists, because we still want to have the mitzvah of burning it, because we may have chametz that we left over in order to eat. In the daytime bittel, when we're burning the chametz, then we mevatel everything, whether we saw it or not, whether we know about it or not, etc. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Olavasu Isura Lai Matzi Mevatel. So you're telling me that after the time when Chometz becomes Osir, you're not able to Mevatel. Lai Matzi Mevatel, you're not able to Mevatel it. Vatanya, but we learn in a Braisa, Hoyo Yoshi Beis HaMedrash, if a person is sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, so he can't get home that easily, the Nizgo Shiyetz Chometz Vaseich Beisai, he remembers that there is Chometz in his house, Mevatel Beliboy, then he can be Mevatel in his heart. It's actually a Macholikas Vrach. It's a Macholikas Rishonim, we're holding on Zayin Amud Aleph, eighth line about. So it's a Macholikas Rishonim, actually, when we say Mevatel Beliboy, do we mean just thinking in his heart is enough, or does he actually have to say that I'm Mevatel? Whatever the case, the point is, the Braisa says, he can be Mevatel at that point, when he's sitting in the Beis Medrash, Echad Shabbos Ve'Echad Yom Tov. This applies whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, Vishlema Shabbos, so I can understand what's the scenario that it could be Shabbos. Okay, Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, like it will this year. So therefore, so you're talking about Erev Pesach morning. He realizes he has chametz in his house. He's not going to have time to get back home before this man is over. So we can understand it's saying that he's not mevatel belev, and we don't make him go home for it. That takes care of Shabbos. Ela Yom Tov Vaser Isurim. What do you mean if it's Yom Tov? Yom Tov is already after the time when it becomes Osir. So if you're telling me that he's able to be Mevatel at that time, that means he's able to be Mevatel even after the time that it's Osir. So what are you telling me that no? What are you telling me that once it comes the sixth hour of Erev Pesach, and it's already Osir Drabbanon, then at that point you can't be Mevatel anymore? We see from this Braisa, evidently he could. The answer is Amar of Achav Yaakov, Hacha b'Talmud Yoshev b'Fnei Rabbi Yaskinen. The case we're talking about over here is that when we said the guy is sitting in a mismedrash, specifically what we mean is it's a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe. The Nizko Shiyash Isam and Gogelos Pesach Beisai, he remembers that there is dough that's already been kneaded and made in his house, but it hasn't yet become chametz. Now, though, because of the covet of his Rebbe, he can't go and bake it. So there, and he's concerned it's going to become chametz. So one scenario, actually, the Ritva talks about, one possible scenario you could have that, let's say, for example, the women in his house were busy making dough, then, let's say, he left to go to the Beis Medrash, and he realizes that they're also going to be leaving, because after all, he shouldn't be leaving the dough, it's going to become chametz. He should be dealing with it before he leaves. But let's say, for example, he left, and now he realizes, let's say, what happens if they don't finish making it in time? Or what happens if they themselves realize that they have to go someplace and they run out or whatever? So then, what we're talking about is mevatel before it becomes chametz. Now, obviously, that doesn't take care of the Shabbos case, because on Shabbos you can't need dough. So it has to be that Shabbos and Yom Tov are two different cases. Shabbos, it's talking about there is real chametz over there, and he realizes before this man. And Yom Tov, we're talking about it. Yom Tov is already after this man, but we're talking about it's not yet chametz. The dough is being made, but it hasn't yet become chametz. There is also an interesting possibility with that. Later on in the Masechta, when we talk about the time it takes for dough to become chametz, we're going to talk about on the Gemara says there that the time is a shiur mil, the time it takes to walk a mil, which is 18 or 24 minutes, depending which poskin you follow. We go 18 minutes for chumrah. There is some grounds. I've seen different people argue that there are certain grounds to say that maybe the Gemara actually means over there 4 mil, in which case the time would be 4 times as long. So in that case, you have a generous amount of time that the dough could be left and not yet become chametz, maybe a point to that. Obviously, we don't follow that nowadays, but there is also an interesting point in that connection also. It's brought that the Ramban would, when he was making matzah during Pesach, or when his family was making matzah during Pesach, now the oven for it wasn't in his house. The oven was several houses away, and they would walk it over. Now, on the face of it, okay, you have 18 minutes, but on the other hand, on the face of it, once you've worked with the dough has gotten heated up by the people's hands, maybe that it would become chametz faster. The Ramban wasn't concerned about that, and he would have it walked over the several houses to the oven. We're not knowing that nowadays. We're knowing that once the dough has been worked with, we assume it's gotten heated up, and therefore we want to get it into the oven as fast as possible. But again, that could be a scenario that the Gemara is talking about over here, where they made the dough, and then let's say, yeah, they put it down, and they have, let's say, the 18 minutes or whatever, and he realizes the 18 minutes are almost up, and it's about to become chametz.
Right, and therefore what?
So that's the thing. So he's mevatel before it becomes chametz. He's mevatel in advance before it becomes chametz, yeah. So that answers the question. Yes, no, he can't be mevatel the chametz once it actually becomes chametz and it's after the zman. He can't be mevatel. But here we're talking about he's mevatel. So in the case of Shabbos, we could be talking about that it is Shabbos Erev Pesach and it is before the zman. In the case of Yom Tov, necessarily we have to be talking about that it's this kind of scenario where it's not yet chametz, but it's soon going to be if he's not mevatel. Deka Nami, in fact, we can see that from the wording of the Braisa, that we're talking about it's not yet chametz. The expression is he's sitting in the Beis Medrash. Meaning, in other words, why is he mevatel b'livoy? Because he can't leave, because it wouldn't be derech eretz stick to his Rebbe. If it was talking about real chametz, then what's the difference whether he's sitting in the Beis Medrash? All he can do, and it's Shabbos after all, so it's Shabbos, all he can do is mevatel it, because on Shabbos, the most you can do, we said before, okay, you can take keli and cover it, but you can't do more than that, because you can't burn it on Shabbos, and possibly not on Yom Tov either, as we discussed, because of Mukta. So evidently, if we're saying that he needs to be mevatel it, that must be talking about where that is right now the one thing that he can do. He can be mevatel it before it becomes chametz. In other words, as opposed to, but the reason why we're allowing him that is because he's in the Beis Medrash. If it was a case where if he was not in the Beis Medrash, we would tell him, don't do that. Go home, bake it so it doesn't become chametz, and then that way you won't have a problem in the first place. Why are we allowing him to just do bittul is because he's in the Beis Medrash and there's no choice. He can't leave in the middle.
So he goes his home. He prepares dough, and they don't have the Beis Medrash.
So let's say the case is, again, that Ritva talks about, you could have where the people in his house were making dough, he left for the Beis Medrash, and now he's concerned that that dough may end up becoming chametz. It might be, for example, that they're not going to be careful enough to do it in time, it might be there are going to be scraps of dough left that he's concerned about, whatever it is, he realizes that, look, it's not yet 18 minutes since I left, so therefore, let me move out to it now. Yeah. Because what does it have to do? The covetive is a nebbe, fine, but in this case, he has an alternative. He can be mevatel it, and therefore that's good enough. On a daraisa level, the bittul will take care of it. It's only the drabbanon that you need to burn it. Okay. Another din. Amar Rav bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Hapas she'ikra. If bread became moldy, and by the way, we nowadays distinguish between bread and matzah. In Gemara terminology, pas can mean matzah as well. It just means the respective kind of bread, regular bread during the year, and matzah during Pesach. We're also going to see in our Gemara that there actually wasn't necessarily a big difference in the shape or in the consistency or whatever between matzah and chametz, because we're going to see in our Gemara that you can easily confuse one for the other. So pas she'ikra. So you have bread which became moldy. Kiven shirovza matzah muteris. Once there is more matzah, then it's mutter. So it sounds like it means that, in other words, we're talking, you have your bread box, where you keep your bread. You find, sometime during Pesach in it, you find a moldy loaf of bread. You don't know whether it's bread or matzah. We say it depends. Did you put more matzah or more chametz in here up to that point? That's what it sounds like we're going according to. Nowadays, we would never do that. We would clean out the bread box and sell it with the chametz. But, technically you can cash in your kalim, so, and a bread box, after all, is only used with tzonin. In principle, all you need to do, al-pi-alocha, is wipe it out, wash it out or whatever. And
so he's not going to find any bread. He's only going to find matzah there.
So that's the thing. So we have to figure out. So, hey, if you dummy, what's the scenario? Ilema de yoda the chametz. Are we talking about that he knows that this loaf of bread was chametz? He rubs some matzah. So my habit. Who cares if more matzah was used in this box? The fact is, he knows this particular piece is chametz. He can't very well be eating it. So we have to be talking about where he doesn't know whether this is chametz or matzah. Again, because you have to remember, the regular year-round bread was also a lot like matzah. It was also fairly flat. And
Well,
the truth is, matzah, that we make matzah thin nowadays is a thing that developed in the times of the Rishonim. In the Gemara, we're going to learn later on in the Sefta that you can't make it more than a tefach thick, because then it might become chametz, but you could make it less than that. It used to be actually the whole concept that we have of gebruch, which developed in the times of Alter Rebbe or shortly before that, was based on the idea that they make the matzahs very, very quickly, and they make them very thin, and therefore there's a chance you may have flour left on them. In earlier times, they actually used to make matzahs much thicker, and they were softer too, and therefore, they kneaded them very, very thoroughly for a long time, because the halacha is, in principle, as long as you're working with the dough, it won't become chametz, and therefore there was no problem with possible flour left over on it. But the whole concept of thin masses, of thin, crumbly masses, is something only in the last few hundred years.
So it's better to be thinner.
Well, I mean, there's an advantage to them being thinner because they're less likely to puff up, and if they puff up, then of course they're chametz. So there is an advantage to making them thinner, but then the disadvantage comes that they make them very quickly, and then there's a chance that there may be flour left on them, which leads to the concept of gebruch.
Nowadays, because we don't make, we need them to be thin to store them for long enough.
Well, there's also that, yeah, I suppose, if we don't, yeah, that's true, because they make them months in advance. If they don't make them thin, they're going to spoil. That's also true.
Because not everyone makes their own months.
Everything is going to stick to their own bake as well as inside.
Well, that's exactly why there's a halacha about how thick you can make them. Right? All right, anyway, let's go on. So we have to be talking about, evidently, you find this moldy piece of bread. You don't know whether it was bread or matzah, because the bread and the matzah. They're on matzah and matzah Shabbos. I don't bother because we don't have background noise. So then the question is, my iriki rov samatza, then who cares whether there's been more matzah or not? Afilo kilo rov samatza nami, even if there hasn't been more matzah, let's say it's at the very beginning of Yom Tov, so most of what's been in this bread box up until now has been chametz. Nevertheless, nasal basa basra, the halacha should be, we're able to go according to what was last there. The last thing placed in this box was matzah, therefore we should assume that what's there now is matzah. Mi loitnan, haven't we learned similarly to that in a Mishnah in Shkolim, which is the next Masechta after Pesachim, so we'll get to it in a few months, that's the Shem. Mois shenimtsu ulefnei socher behema, money that you find in your shalayim in front of the cattle dealers, in front of the animal dealers, la'olam meiser, is always considered meiser sheni money, because what happens is people have to bring their meiser sheni to your shalayim, or if they can't bring the meiser sheni because there's too much of it and it'll spoil or whatever, then they're poyeh it for coins, and they take the coins and bring them to your shalayim. What happens, though, there's only a certain amount of time that a person is going to be spending in your shalayim. Afterward, eventually, he has to leave. What does he do with all the rest of his nice shiny money? He gives it to people in town. and they use it as they use it according to the halachas of Ma'aseh Sheni. One of those halachas being that they have to buy only food with it. We learned in Eruvin about there's only certain kind, most certain kinds of food they can't buy with it. For example, water or salt, because it has to be gedule haaretz. Yeah.
The point.
No, you can't give it to tzedakah. It has to be used. It has to be used to buy food. So it was an Rambam Gimel Krokin lately also. So therefore, now what would these people use to buy with it? Mostly they would use it to buy animals for shlomim. And the halacha is you can do that. You the midrabanon actually, the chachamim made a takana, you shouldn't use it just to buy regular animals for stam meat. If you're going to use it to buy animals, it should be for shlomim, for karbanas shlomim. And that way, you're allowed to eat, but like this, the Chachamim made a takana that when possible, you should be buying shlomim. I mean, there are all kinds of rules in that. You could have, for example, you're allowed to buy a wild animal, like a deer or something with it. But if you're going to buy a domestic animal, it shouldn't be the kind that you're just going to eat stem, that you're going to eat it as shlomim. Anyway, so the point is, therefore, so people who are buying animals from the cattle dealers, mostly what they're spending is Ma'aseh Sheni money. Now, of course, it might equally well be that the seller dropped the money, and then it was already nischalal on the animal, and then the money is chulin. But Rashi says it's suffik iser, therefore we go l'chobra. Tosfos says that's not the reason, because after all, look, I mean, you have some people come with chulin money to buy animals. You also have half the time the money might be from the dealers. So in that case, then you have a roiv that's chulin. Tosfos says, no, the reason is because you have more buyers than sellers. You have one guy who's selling an animal. You have a whole bunch of people come around with their money in order to buy it. So there's more likelihood that one of the customers lost his money.
Those days, most people had big fields.
Fine, but the point is, you're going to a cattle dealer to buy an animal. You yourself are not necessarily, you yourself live in Yerushalayim. You're not necessarily raising your own cattle. If you are, then they're far away outside the city. The point is, you go to the cattle dealer, and you have 10 people are going to the dealer to buy one animal. So and then they're bidding on it, whatever. So therefore, so it's more likely Tosfos says that one of them dropped it rather than to say that the dealer dropped it.
That's a given.
Because you're really because you have the buyers are more than the sellers. Yeah.
Obviously, years back now, I understand, but
yeah, but in those days also, how many like many people go to buy one animal. Okay. So therefore, so money that you find in front of the cattle dealers is always ma'aser. B'harabayis cholin. On the other hand, money that you find on the harabayis is always cholin. Because even during the Yom Tovim, when more people are coming to Yerushalayim with Ma'aseh Sheni money, we assume that we go according to most of the year. It's more likely that fell before Yom Tov, and therefore it's chulin. Actually, Tosfos points out you're not supposed to go into the Harabayis carrying money anyway, but that means if you're carrying it openly, if you're carrying it in your pocket or inside your clothes or whatever, then you're allowed to. So therefore, why would they make money on the Harabayis? One possibility is you could have that these Varim were carrying it, for example, and they were Mechalal, where they used the money. They used it to buy something for Hekdesh, and now the thing's bought, and now they drop the money. So therefore there's reason to assume that it's holding. Anyway, the Yerushalayim, as far as the rest of Yerushalayim, B'sh'as ha'regel ma'aser, if you find the money during Yom Tov time, then we can assume it's ma'aser, because many people come on Aliyah l'regel and they bring their ma'aser sheni money with them. B'sh'ayim ma'aser shana cholin, during the rest of the year, you can assume it's cholin. It's not in front of the cattle dealers. V'amar of Shmaya Barzera, my timer. So why during the rest of the year can we assume that it's cholin in the rest of Yerushalayim? It might be left over from Yom Tov. Because they would sweep up the streets of Yerushalayim every day. Rashi says it here because of the mud, because of the dirt. There are other places, I think, where Rashi and Tosfos explain that the reason is because there might be dead shrotzim or other such things which would cause tumah in Yerushalayim. They have to be extra careful on Tara. Whatever the case, they swept the marketplaces of Yerushalayim every day. So therefore, if you find now money sometime between the Yom Tovim, it's not going to be from Yom Tov because it would have long since been found when they swept. As opposed to the Harabayis, Rashi says they don't sweep. First of all, the Harabayis is on a slope. So therefore, anything that falls on it is more likely to roll away anyway. They don't need to sweep away the dirt. And also, given that people don't go, since you're not allowed to go into the Harabayis with your shoes on or with the dust on your feet, then the Harabayis naturally stays cleaner anyway, and therefore they don't need to sweep it every day.
So before people went in, they had a cure to wipe.
They would go to the mikveh, but they would wash their feet, I guess, yeah. So therefore, so the Harabayis would naturally stay cleaner. Anyway, the point is focusing on Yerushalayim. Alma amrinen tamoy tamoy azilei v'hane achrinenu. Therefore, we see when it comes to money that you find elsewhere, Tver and Yerushalayim, you can assume the older ones are gone, and this is new money that fell after Yom Tov, and there's no particular reason to assume that it's Maaseh Sheni any more than Stam Cholin money.
You don't say Yud Beis Gaten 12 days after Yom Tov with
people. Where's 12 days after Yom Tov?
Because people stay on to be Makkah Zera only.
No, during the Yom Tov itself, sure. During the 7 or 8 days of Yom Tov, sure. But after Yom Tov, Yisro Chag, they don't leave.
We don't say.
Oh, you're talking about. Okay, what you're thinking about is by Shavuos, where you have an extra few days after Shavuos to bring your kavanas in case you didn't, because you couldn't bring them on Yom Tov, right? Okay, so maybe then we would say maybe fine during the couple of days after Shavuos, maybe the rule of Yom Tov would apply, but during the rest of the year, not. Once everybody leaves, once everybody leaves, then that's it. And the next day, that day, the streets are swept. Any money that's dropped will be found. And then the next day, if you find money, then you know, then you have good reason to assume it's holy.
What's the base stolen that we have?
That's what we have. Six days after Shavuos, where you can still bring the Korbanos, the Oilus Ri'iyah and Shamash HaGiga that you couldn't bring on Shavuos. You don't have that by the Yom Tov. The other Yom Tov themselves are 7 or 8 days long. You don't need extra days after them.
Also, after Pesach, we don't have 12 days long.
No. I mean, after Pesach, we don't say Tachlin, but that's because most of the month already was days of Simcha, the days of the Korbanos of the Nisim, and then Pesach, and Shins, and Pesach.
Can we move on, please?
What?
Can we move on and stop the questions and interruptions?
Relax, Avramosha. Yeah.
No, I don't relax. I'd like to move on, and I'd like to stop the questions, please.
Yes, after Pesach, there were a few days when you don't say Tachnun, but that has nothing to do with the Korbanos, that has to do with the Simcha of Nissen. But yes, ordinarily you have those during the Yom Tov, fine, with Shavuos, there's the few days after Yom Tov when you can bring the Korbanos, and then that's it. All right, yeah, let's continue. So the point is, in other words, that Hochanami, the same thing we should say in the case of the bread box, Neimer Kama Ozil, we should say whatever was there first is already gone, the Chometz is already gone, the Haiga Inu, what's there now is the current kind of bread, namely matzah. So who cares whether Rav some matzah? Who cares whether there was more matzah than chametz used in this bread box? Just the fact that the most recent thing put in this bread box was matzah should be reason enough to assume that this moldy piece of bread is matzah. The answer is shiny hocha deipusha meichiach ilavei. Yes, but the difference is because it's moldy, that itself shows it's been there a while. So there's more of a chance that it was there from before Yom Tov.
Even though it could be human hot outside.
Well, yeah. So that's the question. Fine. In that case, then how does it help if you have more matzah, if you have more matzah than chametz in there? Either way, you should still say the fact that it's moldy makes it more likely that it's left over from before Pesach, that you forgot to find, that you forgot to check it during Bedikas Chametz. Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, you're right. Loi tema sharov samatza. You're right. When we use the expression kivin sharov samatza, don't think that means that more matzah was placed in this box rather than chametz. But what it means is ela ema sharovu yemei matzah ilavei. It means that many days of matzah, many days of Pesach have passed, and then you discovered this thing. So you didn't find it on the first day of Yom Tov. You found it on the fifth or the sixth or something of Yom Tov. Actually, the Rabbeinu Hananel actually says what we're talking about is that you found it after the whole Pesach. Because the question is whether you're allowed to eat it. Why would you want to eat moldy bread? But let's say, for example, in those days, maybe they were less finicky. They were poor. You cut away the moldy part or whatever. So if it's during Pesach, Rabbeinu Hananel says, the fact that we're going to say, okay, maybe it is matzah from earlier in Pesach, that's not reason enough to be able to eat it on the off chance it might be matzah, because it might equally be able to be chometz. And during Pesach, you have an Isur Karis to eat it. So we have to be talking about, says Rabbeinu Hananel, that we're talking about after the whole Yom Tov is over. The only question is it chometz sh'over all of our Pesach? Fine, chometz sh'over all of Pesach is only an Isur Drabbanan. So then we can be mako and say that it may have been matzah after all. So the question is, Yehochi Pshita, if so, then it's posher. Then there's not even a suffix, because you probably checked the bread box, and therefore there's no chametz left in it, and whatever it is in it is matzah at this point. The answer is leitzricha deipusha merubah. Yeah, but the case we're talking about is where it's very moldy. Ma'od tema, so you would think like this, kiven deipusha merubah, since it's very, very moldy, iglaya milsa devade chametz ma'alyu, evidently it must be real, honest to goodness chametz, and now you're discovering it, let's say, not according to Rabbeinu Hananel, let's say according to the Pshat of the Gemara, you're talking about, you find it 5 or 6 days into Pesach. Okay, but it's so moldy, it's probably been there at least a week. And if it's been there at least a week, there's a good chance that it's chametz. Kamash Malan, that is why the Braisa is telling us, that is why Rabbi Bar Muna rather is telling us that it's not a problem. Because why is it so moldy? Kivin Shirabu, Yemei Matzah Ilavei. Since many days of Pesach have already passed and when you first discover this, Amrina, and we say, Kol Yom of Yom Nahama Chamima Ofa. What happened? Every day of Pesach, they bake fresh hot bread, the Shodet Yilavei, and then they put it on top of not realizing that that one piece of bread was still in there. But after today, and that's why it became so moldy, because every day you had hot, the heat made it even more moldy than usual. So not necessarily so moldy because it's been there for already 2 weeks, and therefore it's likely to become it. No, it was only there for 4 days. But it became extra moldy because of all the hot, matzah they were putting on it every day.
They're baking matzah on
Pesach? Yeah, they're making matzah during Pesach, yeah. We don't usually do that nowadays. I mean, you do have people who have the minhag of baking matzah Erev Pesach for the matzah mitzvah. And, of course, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, like it is this year, then they have to do it on the Seder night. But,
really?
Yeah.
But, so people really do? Mm-hmm. So, wow.
Yeah. But yeah, in those days they had the minhag. They would also make matzah during Pesach itself. Yeah. I mean, we have the matzah bakeries working for 4 months before Pesach, so we don't do that yet. Okay. Fine. So the question is, now we said before that when it comes to the money in your shalayim, for example, we said you go according to the last thing that was there. And the same thing we were arguing as far as this bread box, you should also be going according to the last thing that was there, and that led us to say that no, instead we're talking about that you found it was very, very moldy. But the question is, me as Linen Basa Basra, do we in fact go according to the last thing that was in that was someplace and say whatever you find now is probably that last thing? The Hatanya, Rabbi Yosi by Yehudaim, Teva Shinishtam Shuba Mois Chulin or Mois Meiser, a box where you used it to put money of Chulin and money of Meiser. So now you found some money in it and you don't know what it is. Im Roiv Chulin, if most of the money you've been putting in this box is chulin, then you can assume this money is chulin. Imroi meiser, if most of it is meiser, then you have to assume this is meiser. Va'amai leizel basa basra. Based on what we just said, you should go according to the last thing that was there. The answer is, yeah, but we're talking about where you used in it money of chulin and money of meiser. He doesn't know which one was the last one. So now we can't go according to the last one because he himself doesn't remember what was the last thing he put in there. So then we have to go back to Ruv and go according to what was Ruv of what was placed in here at different times. If he forgot, he put in, sometimes he put in Cholin, sometimes he put in Meiser, and now he forgot what was the last thing he put in there. So now when he takes out that money, we can't go according to the last thing because he himself doesn't remember what the last thing was. Therefore, we have to go according to Ruv most of the time. He said he had this box. Has he been putting Cholin in it or has he been putting Meiser into it? And then go according to that.
It doesn't matter what happened now.
Rav Zvid Omer, Kegon Shinishtam Shabbat Tziburin. Rav Zvid says you could be talking about in the case of the money box where you use different piles of money at different times. You could have in one corner of it you put one pile, in a different corner you did put a different pile, and therefore, so now, you know, there's no last thing, because the last thing, there was both Cholin and Meiser in there. So now, when you find one particular pile, you're not sure which it is, therefore you have to go according to Ruv. In the case of the bread box, we're not saying that for a couple of reasons. One of them being, you're not going to do that. You're not going to put chametz in one corner and matzah in the other corner. The whole point is, you have to clear out the chametz before Pesach. Rav Papa Amakaventi Ishtakach Beguma. Rav Papa gives a third answer that, let's say, the case involving them in case of the money is talking about that you found it inside a hole in the box. So now you can't say you go according to the earlier one because, yeah, you could say every time you see that there's money in the box, you take it out, but you're not going to notice what's in the hole over there. So now you find it in the hole. It may have been there for a considerable amount of time and you didn't realize that it was there, and therefore it might be from some previous batch of money that was there, and therefore all you can do is go according to Ruv. There you can't go according to Basra because it may have been overlooked all this time.
That could compare it also to our situation with
the matzah. Well, so that's the thing. With the bread, yeah. I mean, suppose you could have the same thing if the bread... Well, no. According to the Papa's answer, if you find the bread in the... If you find the bread in a hole in the box, you might have to consider it chametz for the same reason because, yeah, you might have missed it the first few times. Yeah, whereas according to the other answers, then no. You would just go according to Ruv. Okay. Another din, Amr of Yehuda, Haboidik Sarach Shiyavarech. When a person does B'dikas Chametz, he has to make a bracha. Now, even though, and now it's only Dirabbanon, but fine, you still make brachas on mitzvahs Dirabbanon. There's also the point you may not even find Chametz. Nevertheless, you still, there are, by the way, the Rishonim bring, we discussed yesterday or 2 days ago, the matter of the 10 pieces. Usually we say that it's not necessary, Al Pi Halacha, to put down the 10 pieces, because regardless, you're fulfilling the mitzvah by doing B'dikas Chametz anyway. But actually, there is, we mentioned before that there's Machloikas Rishonim on the question, if you did the dicker, and let's say you didn't do bittel, and then you found chametz, are you actually over on bal yiroa bal yimatza on it? So if we say, so that might, you know, so if you have chametz and you're in the house that you didn't know about, are you over on bal yiroa bal yimatza on it? So that might affect the question of whether you need the 10 pieces or not, because if you say that even chametz that you don't know about, you're still over on unless you're mevatel, then okay, you're mevatel also the chametz that you didn't find, then maybe you should be putting down pieces because you have to find something. But if not, then maybe not. But, the minhag is to put down the 10 pieces, although it's brought, there were some achronim, I think it says the Vilna Gaon didn't put down 10 pieces, but the minhag of the Velt and our minhag is that we do put down the 10 pieces. We, of course, wrap them carefully so they don't crumble, etc. But no, so that's the thing. So according to many poskim, it's not necessary. It's not a brachal of atola regardless, because just the fact that you're doing the bedika is reason enough. Although there is an interesting argument that some achronim make, maybe nowadays that we clean so thoroughly before Pesach, maybe there's reason enough to say that actually counts for the Darabonon, for the Darabonon Chiyuv of Bedika, and therefore when you're doing it on Pesach and you're doing it on Erev Pesach night, maybe you should talk and put down the pieces, because otherwise maybe it would be a brach levatala. The majority opinion is not like that, though. Anyway, okay, so you have to make a brach. My Mevorich, what brach do you say? Rapapi Omer Meshmei Darava Omer Leva'er Chometz. You say the bracha Leva'er Chometz. Now, we don't say Livdai Chometz because the mitzvah is not the bedika is being done in order to do the beer, in order to destroy the chametz. So therefore the bracha is not on the bedika itself. The bracha is on the end thing that you plan to do with it, which is that you're doing it for the purpose of beer. Although the Maharam Chalava also points out that the word beer itself does also include searching for, so he actually learns that the searching is on a deraisa level, which is similar to what we said before that Ram says. So therefore, so according to that, then you're definitely saying levar chametz because the bedika itself constitutes the beer. Anyway, Rav Papa Omer Meshmei de Rava al beer chametz. On the other hand, Rav Papa says in the name of Rava the bracha is al beer chametz, which is what we say. So. Bilavair, if you say the bracha levair chametz kula amale pligi, then neither of them disagrees. They both agree. Devade la haba mashma. The word levair definitely implies something for the future. Now we're going to say on other days that when you say a bracha on a mitzvah, you have to say the bracha and then you do the mitzvah. So therefore, if you say the bracha levair chametz, no question about it, that then it means that you're making a bracha that you will be mevair the chametz. So therefore, that's a valid version to say. Ki pligi, the machloikus would be ba'al bir. What about if you say al bir chametz? Is that a valid lashon to say? Mar sova me'ikra mashma or mar sova la'abba mashma? So the papi holds you shouldn't be saying al bir chametz because that implies something that was already done. And that's wrong. You didn't yet do it. You're making the bracha and then you're going to do the bedikah. Therefore, he says you have to say levair, which is future tense.
That's what
he's
saying.
That, well, we know. So 1 second. As opposed to the papa says, or Marasavah lahaba mashmer, the papa says that the word al bir chametz means lahaba, it means for the future, and therefore it's a valid thing to say. You can say the bracha, and then you're going to do the bir. Tosfos, by the way, mentions an interesting point in this connection on Amud Aleph. We're going to discuss soon the matter of when we say on mitzvahs, when we say al the mitzvah, and when we say le the mitzvah. We know there are both kinds. And you have some, we have, for example, al matilas yadayim, al mitzvahs lulav, and so forth. And then on the other hand, we have with Lamed, we have Lehab Likner Shochanukah, Likra Yasahalel, and so forth. One of them is by the Mila. We say that now you have the first bracha by the Mila is Al HaMila, fine. But the second one is Lehachnisa Bibrisa Shalavram Avinu. Tosfos discusses, should we be saying it before the Mila? Based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara, Levair means something in the future. Therefore, Lehachnisa also has to mean in the future. If you say it after the Mila was done, then you're saying a lie. So Tosfos says that no. Rabbi Natam and Tosfos says that no. You do say lachnisa after the mila. So what we do, we say lachnisa. The father says lachnisa after the mila before the priya, because the priya itself is essential for the mitzvah. So mov le poras a mila kiilu le mov. So therefore, when the father says lachnisa, then it still works. Also, Tosfos says there's another reason. Lachnisa doesn't just mean the mila that we did just now. We're praising Hashem for the fact that we have the mitzvah of mila and that we did it for the covenant of Avraham Avinu. We want to stress Tosfos says, we want to stress, you should know, after all, there are nations in the world that do milah for Avodah Zarah reasons. There are people who do Avodah Zarah, there are people who do milah for health reasons. There are people who do it for other reasons. We want to stress that we're doing it because of the bris that Hashem made with Avraham Avinu. So therefore, it's appropriate to say lachnisa even after the milah. So the ma'isa, like I said, what we do, eventually the poskim said, is what you do is you say lachnisa after the milah before the priya. And that takes care of all the problems.
So cutting away the singer, that's the mitzvah alone.
So the mitzvah is cutting away the orla, but also the moil tears open the priya skin, the membrane underneath. We learned about it in Shabbos. You have the milah, there's priya, and there's mitzitza. So the priya is removing the membrane that's under that's under the foreskin, under the orla. That the moil cuts that away with his finger. It breaks it open and cuts it away with his fingernails.
Only after you cut.
After you cut the orla skin, yeah. Fine. So again, so Rav Papi holds that livar chametz is the only valid way to say it, because otherwise al biur chametz would mean about something that you already did. And Rav Papa says it doesn't matter. Al biur chametz can also work like habo. So the Gemara says basically, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says we say the bracha hamila baruch asher kedushanim mitzvashim mitzvanu al hamila. Now. Why are you saying al hamila? Why don't you say lomul? According to the Papi's logic, you're saying the bracha before the mila. You should be saying lomul, because if you say al hamila, then it sounds like you're implying the mila was already done, and it wasn't done yet. The answer is hosam hechi neima. The answer is, even according to the Papi, there's no choice. There you have to say al hamila, because what else should you say? Name a lomul. Should you say asher kedushanim mitzvashim mitzvanu lomul? It mashma that I have the mitzvah to maul this baby. What do you mean? Lo sagia the lab evil mohil. What do you mean? Does it have to be this particular mohil that does it? There's a mitzvah that the baby has to have a bris. The mitzvah is on the father. It doesn't have to be this particular mohil. Any mohil could do it. The father himself could do it for that matter. So you can't say lomol implying I personally have a mitzvah to maul this baby, because I don't have a mitzvah any more than anybody else does.
Designated
it, very nice. The mohil could still give it to somebody else. So the question is, okay, avia ben ma'ikul meimer, nu, and what happens if the father himself is making the mohil, is making the bris? The answer is, you're right. Eino chanami. You're right. In fact, according to Rapapi, he would say lomu. Now, the Rambam writes that mahalocha. The Rambam writes that if the father himself is doing the bris milah for his son, he says lomu asaben. Most other Rishonim don't hold like that, because this is according to Rapapi, and we're going to conclude in our case that the halacha is like a papa, that you say al biur chametz, and therefore you can also say al hamila, regardless whether it's the father or the mother that's doing it. We'll talk, when we get to the end of the sugya, we'll talk about what there are several different explanations among the Rishonim. Why do we have some mitzvahs, we have the bracha al, and some of them we have lit. So we'll talk about that at the end, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
Okay. When there's a mila, the father should make the bracha and
so that's the thing. What we do is the moyo says the bracha ala mila. The father says the bracha lachnisi b'vissa shalavram avinu. Okay. The Gemara says, what about Mesli? We say the bracha on shchita, baruch asher kedushanim mitzvanu al hashchita. Again, if we want to have proper, why? You're making the bracha first, then you're shouting. You should be saying lishchay. The answer is hosam nami hechi neima. Because again, over there, how should you say it? Name a lishchoy. Again, you can't say lav loy sagya the lav yu shachit. Does it have to be dafka? The only way for it to happen is for him to shecht. Anybody can shecht. In fact, even more so, mila at least is a mitzvah chiyuvis. There is a chiyuv that this baby has to have a bris mila. Shchita, there's not even that. Shchita is only what's called a mitzvah chiyuvis. If you want to eat meat, then you have a mitzvah to shecht. There's no particular mitzvah to shecht. So I mean, there is a mitzvah to shecht. There's no particular mitzvah that you have to shecht dafka. So why should he be saying lishchoy? Okay, so the Gemara says Pesach the Kodshim Ma'ikol Meimer. Nu, so what happens to the Kodshim Pesach or other Kodshim, where ideally Rashi says the owner of the Kodshim himself should be shechting. If he doesn't know how to, fine, he delegates, but Ma'ikol Meimer, so then what are you going to say? And again, the Gemara says, Eino Chanami, indeed, if a person is shechting his own Kodshim Pesach or his own Kodshim, then he would say Lishchot, according to the Papi, at least. Basically, the Gemara says it, I have another contradiction. A Braisa says, Ha'oisa Lulav La'atzmoi. By the way, in connection with a bris milah, actually, Tosfos points out, when you're making a bris for gerim, then you do make a bracha lomulas hagerim. You don't say al milas gerim, because when it comes to maling a ger, there's no particular person who has a chiyuv more than any other. When it comes to a baby, the father is the one who really has the chiyuv. The mother is just acting as the father's shliach. When it comes to a ger, everybody has an equal mitzvah to make sure that this ger is going to be able to become a ger. Therefore, you say lomulas hagerim. Okay, basically, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Ha'oisa lulav la'atzmai, when a person makes or binds his own lulav, Mevorech Shechyanu v'kimonu v'gyanu l'zmanazeh, then he says Shechyanu. Now, we don't do that. We say Shechyanu only the first time we take the lulav. A reason for that is because, at least in the times of the Rishonim, and up until very recently, not necessarily did everybody have their own lulav. So what are you going to say? Only the person who binds the lulav, let's say you have, you know, you're hearing all the old stories where they had one lulav and esrog for the whole community. What is it going to be? Only the person who's binding the lulav should make Shechyanu, and everybody else misses that opportunity. So therefore, instead the minhag became that everybody says Shechyanu the first time they take it. Anyway, not lo lotzis bo, the braisa continues, when you pick up the lulav to be yotze with it, oimah shechu d'shanam v'tzoresu al matilas lulav. Now again, according to the Papi, why should you be doing that? You should be saying Litzer Lulav. The answer is shiny hosam. Yeah, but it's different in that case. As soon as you pick up the Lulav, you're yotze with it. The whole concept of Nanurim is only Midrabanim. Midaraisa, as soon as you pick up the Lulav, then you're already yotze. So therefore, so if you said Litzer Lulav, then just the opposite. It would mean that I'm going to be doing the mitzvah in the future, but you're not. In a certain sense, it's already Al Matilas Lulav because you already picked it up. Even if, no, you picked it up upside down, then not. And in fact, though, there is the minhag of the velt is therefore that what you do is you hold the esrog upside down and then you turn it right side up at the end of the bracha. Our minhag is instead we just leave the esrog on the table and then we pick it up towards the end of the bracha. But So that way also we're covering that point, because when we say the bracha al mitzvah lulav, we haven't in fact been yod to the mitzvah yet.
So the esrog has to be down. You don't hold it in your hand.
So what you do is when you start the bracha. You have the lulav in your hand, and then towards the end of the bracha, you pick up the esrog, and then you put them together and shake them. But as soon as you pick up the lulav, you're yotze. Therefore, even according to the papi, you can't say litzer lulav, because litzer would imply that you're going to be doing it in the future, and you're not. You already did a certain aspect of the mitzvah. So the question is, Yehachi lotzis bo, then what do you mean you're picking up the lulav in order to be yotze with it? Yotze bo yubayulay. The expression of the braisa should be that he picked it up and he was yotze. The answer is enochanami. You're right. The reason why the braisa doesn't say it that way is umishum de kabayla misne sefer leisha basuka, because the braisa continues with the case where a person, which is the next thing that we're going to talk about, when a person goes to sit in the sukkah. So there, and he, when he goes to sit, and the expression is leishet basukah, he goes to sit in the sukkah. Therefore, tana reisha nami lotzis bo. Therefore, the reisha also used the expression that he's going to be yotze with it. Now, yeah, you could have that he's not yotze, as we said. For example, if you hold it upside down, or if you held it, not having in mind that you're not going to be yotze with it. So you could do that. But in other words, so yes, normally if you pick up the lulav and you pick up all four minim right side up, then you are yotze the mitzvah as soon as you pick them up. Instead, you could pick up one or more of them upside down, or you could have in mind not to be yotze until you say the bracha, and then you can say the bracha, and then you're yotze. Now we learn in the sefer of the same braisa. When a person makes his own sukkah, again, we don't do that when we build the sukkah. We do that the first time we sit in the sukkah. Nichnas leishivah, when he goes to sit in the sukkah, and there we're using the word leishivah, he goes to sit in it, because he's not yet yotza until he sits in it. So therefore, so the braisa used the word lotzeis bo in the reisha to go together with leishivah in the sefer. Like Moses says, v'hilchsa al biur chometz. The bottom line halacha is on bdikas chometz. We say the bracha al biur chometz, like Rav Papa, not like Rav Papa. Now, so what is the general? So Tosfos says because we said before that Rav Papa had said that al is mashma lahabba. It's mashma for the mitzvah that we're yet to do. Fine, so it works like that. Al biur chometz means for the mitzvah biur chometz, which we're yet to do. So Tosfos actually first says you could say it this way. In other words, that you could say it either way. But then the other possibility Tosfos says is it means you dafka should say it that way, which is how we do. Now, why taka? What's the rule about brachas? Why is it that some of them have lamed and some of them have al? So the read just says in Tosfos loy matzatam l'chol brachas. He couldn't find a general rule that will cover all brachas and explain why some of them are one way and some of them are the other way. A number of rishonim, all for different reasons. The Rambam says it actually depends. Are you doing the mitzvah for yourself, or are you doing it for somebody else? So, for example, you sit in the sukkah for yourself, therefore you say leishet basukah. You, on the other hand, a moyel does the milah for somebody else, does it for the father. Therefore, he says ala milah. And in fact, the Rambam holds, if you were to do it for your own son, then you would say lovel, and so forth. But on the other hand, the Rambam says there are other. We still also do have the distinction that we're saying over here in the Gemara as well. Whether you were yotze the mitzvah already technically at the time you said the bracha, you say al matilas lulav again because the moment you pick it up, you're yotze with it. Therefore, lito lulav wouldn't be appropriate because that would imply only labba. But so the Rambam goes on with a couple of other nuances of that rule.
You did the bracha and then you picked it up.
Then you could say little, right. But the Rambam, I think, doesn't make that distinction. But yeah. I think other Rishonim do. Anyway, there are other explanations. The Ran talks about, is it a mitzvah that you do yourself versus that you could delegate? For example, Leishan Basukah, you have to sit in the sukkah yourself. You can't delegate it. On the other hand, let's say al hamila, al hashchita, you could delegate it.
You're already sitting in the sukkah, but you're not eating.
But you know, you haven't eaten yet. Yeah. But yeah, so and besides, well, so one second, also, okay. So the Ran draws a distinction whether it's a mitzvah you have to do yourself, whether you can delegate it to somebody else. And again, he mentioned there are various exceptions to that rule, and those exceptions have reasons of their own. For example, is it something that you could delegate, but nevertheless usually is delegated? Or vice versa. For example, you mentioned, let's say, you have a mitzvah, lahavlik ner Chanukah. You could delegate to somebody else to light your menorah, but usually you do it yourself. Therefore the bracha is lehavlik rather than al hadlokas. That's the Ran. Then you have the Ravid talks about a distinction between whether the mitzvah is a one-time thing or whether it's ongoing, whether it takes a while. For example, in the case of Lulav, you have this picking it up, and there's the Nanuim. As opposed to, for example, Leishan Basukah, you sit there, then right away, you know, it's a very quick thing. But you have, so again, all of these rules have various exceptions and exceptions to the exceptions and so forth. But these are some general rules that the Rishonim talk about of the reason behind the difference in brachas. Okay. The Kulei Almamia, the Gemara continues. The bottom line is that both Rapapi and Rapapa do both agree. Me'ikra v'inim l'varuchi. That you do have to say the bracha before you do the mitzvah. So it's not that you would first do the bedikah and then you'd make the bracha. You have to say the bracha first. Minnalon, where do we see that from? So the answer is the Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, kol mitzvahs mevarach alein over lasi yasim. All mitzvahs, you make a bracha on them over to doing them. And over, as the Gemara is going to say, means before. So my mashma dahai over lishnadak gumihu. Where do you see that the word over means beforehand? Amr of Nachweitz, the Amakra, by Yoratz Achimat, Derech Hakikra, by Yavar Sakushi. You have at the end, in Shmuel Beis, after Avshalom's revolt has been defeated, Avshalom himself has been killed, and people need to go and run, somebody needs to go and run and tell David the good news. So there's a fellow over there named the Kushi, where Yoav wants him to run and tell David. Instead, Achimat, the son of the Kohen Gadol Tzadik, says, I want to run and tell him, and Yoav is trying to talk him out of it. Akitzur HaMaisa eventually tells him, fine, you want to go. And the Pasuk says, Achimat ran by way of the kicker, by Yaver is a Kushi, and he passed the Kushi, he got ahead of him, and got to David first. Yeah, but I mean, Pashtus, one reason why he wanted to do that is because he wanted to be able to break the news gently to David. We know David was very concerned about Avshalom. In fact, when he found out Avshalom had been killed, he was very, very upset about it and very sad and was crying and so forth. So maybe Achimatz wanted to be able to break it to him more gently.
The Cushy is a real Cushy.
It could be an actual Cushy from Ethiopia. It could be that he happened to be dark-skinned. It could also be, for example, it says about Shaul that he's called a Cushy. I'll do a Cushy for Yemini because he was a tremendous tzaddik. No, it couldn't have been Shol, he's long dead already, but it could have been somebody from his family, it could have been somebody who's also a distinguished tzaddik and is called Kushi, the same way as Tzipora is called Isha Kushis, whatever. But yeah.
Was Tzipora really Kushis?
No, she wasn't, she was from Midian. Okay.
If they went to war, obviously he's going to be killed.
Not necessarily. David actually gave instructions to the soldiers before they left that I don't want Absalom to be killed. In fact, the Psukim describer, and this is way a little bit off topic, but the Psukim describer there, what's his name? Avshalom is hanging from a tree by, he got caught in a tree by his hair over there. A soldier comes and sees him, and he goes and reports to Yoav that I saw Avshalom hanging there. So Yoav says, no, why don't you kill him? And the guy says, because David told us not to. And Yoav says, I don't care about that. I'm killing him. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
it was,
Yoav thought he knew better than David a lot of times.
Anyway, let's got in trouble later.
Later, but that was something else. Yeah. All right, anyway, let's go on.
Not easy.
Okay, so anyway, so we see from that pasuk, by Yaver, means to go ahead of, so therefore it means the same thing, the bracha has to go ahead of the mitzvah. Now, why don't we just use the word lifnei, by the way? Is because, Rishonim explained, the bracha has to be right before the mitzvah. Over last year, it implies right before. If you just said lifnei, it could imply. You say the bracha, and then a half hour later, you do the mitzvah. It's not like that. Okay. Abaya Omamehocha, but who over lifnei? Abaya brings a different pasuk. We find in next week's parasha. It says Yaakov passed in front of them. He had Leah and Rachel and Shvachas, all of them with their children, and then he passed in front of them and bowed down to Esau. So we see again that over means to go ahead. The boy same mehacha. A third possibility is a pasuk in Micha. Vayaver Malkum Lefneim Vashem Berosham. Their king passed in front of them, and Hashem is at their head. This is talking about Mashiach's times, that Mashiach will lead the Jewish people out of Golus. He'll be walking in front, and Hashem will be in front, and Hashem will be in front of us. So the point is, in all these three psukim, the word Vayaver or Ovar means ahead of. So Ovar Asiyos, it means you say the bracha right before the mitzvah. Okay. Bei Rab Amri Chutz Min HaTvila V'Shofar. Now, in the yeshiva of Rab, they said, this is true of all mitzvahs, that you say the bracha before the mitzvah, except for Tvila and Shofar. So the question is, B'Shleva Tvila, I can understand when a person is toiling, for example, because he was a Balkari. So then, Da'akati Gavra Lechazi, the person is not yet suitable to make a bracha, because he's a Balkari. We learned in brachas about Takonas Ezra, that you're not allowed to daven. Eventually, they were Vatal Takonas Ezra, but at least, at the time when that takana was in effect, then fine, you can't say a bracha while you're a balkari. Ela shofar my timer, but why should shofar be different than any other mitzvah? You're going to say the reason is because the tekiah may get messed up. You may not be able to blow properly.
Because he said a bracha.
Because what you're going to say, if he says the bracha and then blows shofar, what happens if he doesn't, he's not able to blow properly, then it might be a bracha of atala. Well, the ihachi after the shchita or mila nami. Then the same rule should apply to shchita and mila. Those could also get messed up. So no, Rav Chista says not the exception is not tvila and shofar. Tvila is the only exception. Itmar, it was said only chutz min tvila. Tani nami hachi tova va'ola. We learn similarly in Braisa, if a person toivels and then comes out of the mikvah, v'al yaser ayma baruch hashem k'dushanu mitzvayis mitzvana ala tvila. Now, does that apply to a balkeri? Well, a balkeri nowadays doesn't say a bracha. I'm toveling anyway because it's only takonas Ezra. So Tosfos actually says, we're talking about rather the tevila of a ger. A ger, when a ger goes into the mikvah, it's a tovel. Before he tovels, he's not a yid. So he can't say asher kudushanu mitzvos of the tivanu. So therefore, necessarily, he has to say it after the tevila. Anybody else who has to tovel, for example, Balkeri or anybody else, he could make the bracha before he tovels. However, Tosfos goes on to say, what about women? Women have the minhag of making the bracha after they tovel. Fine, once you have tvilas ger, where necessarily it has to be said afterwards, then if you want to say in general, by any tvila, you want to say it afterwards, then it's not such a big deal. The same thing by tvilas tadayim, given that if you go to the bathroom and then you wash your hands, you can't say the bracha beforehand because your hands aren't clean. So therefore, necessarily there you say the bracha after tvilas tadayim. So therefore, fine, you want to do it. The same thing with bread. Then also, although Tosfos goes on to say that with washing for bread also, what you do is you make the bracha before you dry your hands. Because drying your hands is considered part of the washing in the sense that Gemara tells us in Sota that you have to eat the bread with dry hands. If you eat it with wet hands, then it's like eating lechem tomei. So therefore, the drying the hands is considered part of the mitzvah, and therefore you say the bracha before you dry your hands. I think what we do is there's the idea of rubbing your hands together before you dry them, and then I think what we do is we say the bracha before we do that, because that rubbing itself is part of the mitzvah of the Tzivos Yadayim as well. Now, as far as women toveling, actually, the minhag eventually developed. What they do is they tovel first. Then they cover their head. Then they cover their head and their body with a towel or something. Then they make the bracha. Then they tovel again. So that way they're covering. That way they're covered on all bases. They're not making the bracha before the tevila when they're still tamei. On the other hand, they're making the bracha.
They really do that nowadays.
Yes, they do that nowadays.
Because nowadays, women daven before they daven shachas, they daven in the house.
Right.
Say bracha.
Right. A woman is allowed to daven while she's nidda. There's no problem with that. But still, given what we're saying over here about the pros and cons of saying the bracha with tevila before and after, and again, given that you have tevila seger, where necessarily you have to say it afterwards, so the minhag developed, the poskim approve of this minhag, that's what they do. They tovel first, then they cover their head and their body, and they make the bracha, and then they tovel again. covering their body. It's enough, by the way, to cover.
Again, can say can asher kesharim.
That's the point. That's why he said that.
Women could.
They could, right? But nevertheless, one Tosfos is saying once a ger says it before, says it afterwards, then if women want to say it afterwards, then also. So that's the yeah. Fine. Now the Mishnah said la'ur haner v'cholah. The Mishnah said that you have to do bedikas chametz by candlelight. So minahani mili. Where do we see that you daft have to use a candle?
This week's parsha coming
up. Amr of Chisa. This week's parsha
coming up.
What do you?
I went too far.
Yeah, you're talking a couple of parashiyos ahead. Because we learn one thing where it says mitzia, namely by chametz, from another mitzia in connection with Yosef's cup that was in Binyamin's sack. That's at the end of parashiyos Miketz. Yes, a few parashiyos ahead. In turn, we learn Matsia from Chippos, from the word searching that's mentioned in that same connection. Then we learn that Chippos from another Chippos, another place where the Pasuk mentions searching. In turn, then we learn that from Neiris, where the Pasuk mentions that searching is done with Neiris. The Neiris Mineir, and then we learn from that to another Pasuk that mentions looking with a single candle. So the majority understanding is that this is an asmachta, because after all, according to most Rishonim, the whole concept of Bedikas Chametz is only Dirabanan. According to the Rams, according to one possibility in the Ran, and according to Maharam Chalava, it's Daraisa, but even so, this might be an actual limud Daraisa, or it might still be an asmachta. Maybe in Daraisa, you need to do Bedikah, but not necessarily by night, and with a candle, and the Chachamim said you definitely have to do it with a candle. Okay. So what are the psukim? Mitzia mitzia, mitzia mi mitzia. Ksiv ha'chashivas yamim sa'ur la yimotzi b'vatechem. Here it says that 7 days sa'ur should not be found in your houses. Uchtiv ha'osem in parashas Miketz, ya b'ichapes b'godol heichel u'v'akotin kilo v'yimotzi. He searched in all the sacks. He began with the oldest and ended with the youngest, and he found the sack, and they found the thing in Binyamin's sack. And then in turn, in that same pasuk, you have the word by chafes, he searched. So we see that there's an association between searching and finding. In turn, then you learn the word chippos from a different pasuk that mentions chippos in connection with neiris. The pasuk says, the Navi says in Hashem's name, at that time, I will search through Yerushalayim with candles, meaning metaphorically, Hashem is saying, I'm going to search through your shrine and decide before the churban who deserves to be saved and who not. Like as if like you're searching for chametz carefully with a candle.
I think this is the longest asmachta in Shas.
No, we had a long one like in an Erevin as well, as far as how we learned the concept of tchumen. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The neiris mean neir, and then we had neiris that we learned from there. The pasuk says the candle of Hashem is the neshama of the person which searches through all the chambers of the heart. Betin literally means the stomach, but it means, in other words, a person's insides, like both and clothes for leg, kind of. And in fact, similarly, tonet ve Rabbi Shmuel. We learn it, but I say the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel similarly. Leila yodal boat kumas a chametz la'uran there. On the night of the 14th of Nisan, you check, you search for chametz by the light of a candle. And why a candle? Af b'shein raya l'dover, even though there's not a solid raya for it, zecher l'dover, there's a zecher, because it can't be a solid raya, because it involves psukim from Nach, and psukim from Nach we can't generally learn halachas from, divrei Torah v'divrei Kabbalah loyafinan. But we have a zecher, shenema, shivas yom sar leimotze, v'oimer v'ichapes v'godol heichel v'akotin kila, v'oimer v'oisi achapes yishraim aneres, v'oimer ner Hashem nishvasadim choypes. Now, the question is, on those last ones, my v'oimer, why do we need a v'oimer? Why do we need an extra pasuk? Once we have a chapas as Yerushalayim Maneiris, why do we have to also have Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam? Because, because if you only had the pasuk from Tzfania, you would say, hi v'oisahi kula hu jaka amar rahmana. Maybe the Eivishter means that he's saying candles in the sense of a kula. I'm not going to metaphorically search through Yerushalayim by the light of a torch, the nafish nahoda tova, which gives a lot of light, and therefore, like, I'll see even the tiniest avaris, elab nahoda the shraga. I'm only going to use the light of a candle or a lamp, the zuta nahoda tvei, which is a very small light, the oven rabba mishtaka for oven zuta le mishtaka, where therefore Hashem is in effect saying, I'm only going to look for the big avaris, not the small ones. So therefore, that wouldn't show that Bedikas Chametz, where you're supposed to be looking everywhere and finding every little bit of chametz that you should use a candle. Therefore, Toshma, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Therefore, instead, we mention the pasuk Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, Chofes, Kochadre Vatan, that you, Hashem uses it to search throughout all of a person's insides and all of a person's thoughts. So we see, in other words, that a very careful search can be done with a Ner as well. Tosfos asked the other way around, why we need the pasuk in Tzfania at all then. Let's just, with the pasuk about Ner, also says Chofes. Chofes Kochadre Vatan. So what do you need the pasuk Achafes is Yerushalayim Maneris at all? Tosfos says, because after all, the pasuk is not saying over there that Hashem is searching using the neshama. The neshama is the candle of Hashem, and Hashem searches throughout all of a person's thoughts. It's not saying that the neshama itself is used as the candle to search, as opposed to, you say, Ahapas Yerushalayim Maneris, clearly is saying that Hashem is saying, I will use candles to search Yerushalayim. Okay. Turn it up, on we loaded a braise in this connection. Ein boken loyla urachama v'loyla uralavana. You can't do bedikas chametz by the light of the sun or the light of the moon. By the way, you do have the Baal Amor who learns that when you that if you're doing bedikas chametz by day, he says that you would actually be allowed to do bedikas chametz on the 13th by day if you're not going to be able to do it the 14th by night. Most other rishonim disagree with him and say if you can't do it by night, then you'd have to do it the next day, 14th of Nisan by day. And some of them say that you'd actually have to use a candle then also, even though it's by daytime.
So he does not. What would you
do? So the Maya said, we do. We do bedikas chametz on the night of the 14th.
But if you can't.
If you can't, then I believe the halacha is that you do it by day. But yeah. Or better actually, what you do is you appoint a shliach, if possible.
Yeah.
So v'loy la'ur alavana, you can't check by moonlight. V'loy la'ur la'havuka, and not by the light of a torch. Ela la'ur haner, only by the light of a candle. V'pnesha ur haner yofel abdika, because the light of a candle is best for searching, as the Gemara will explain soon what's so good about it. We'll learn that tomorrow morning, Bez Hashem. The Afa Pishein Raya Ladover, Zeichel Ladover. Again, even though there's no Raya that a candle dafka, Zeichel Ladover, there's a remembrance for it. The same Sukkim that we just said, Shinem Ashivas Yam Sola Yimotzim Latechem, Va'oimer Vaychapas Vagodal Hechel, Va'oimer Vaysayahapas Ishraim Baneris, Va'oimer Ner Hashem Nishmasadim Chepis Kalchadri Votan. So therefore, we see from that a candle is the best thing to search by. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with more rules about the Bedikta. There is the interesting question about, we're saying you can't use a torch, and we're going to explain in the Gemara why. Are you able to use a flashlight?
Mm.
So a number of poskim achronim say that yes, you could, because the various concerns that the Gemara is going to mention further down on the Amud are not applicable to a flashlight. There are some of them who say that maybe there is, you might be concerned that you might be electrocuted, but most of them say, come on, I mean, a flashlight is sealed. There's no issue with that. Some of them also do bring up a point, maybe there is the fact there's glass over the bulb of the flashlight, maybe that creates a problem. Most of them say, though, that it's fine. However, the minhag is that you still use a candle to the extent possible. In places where you can't really bring a candle, a hospital is one, but even in your house itself, you have, for example, let's say you're going to check under a bed or under a sofa or something, you're going to set it on fire if you use a candle. So then most posts can allow you to use a flashlight for that.
Especially now with LEDs.
Especially LEDs. Well, LEDs. Yeah. Okay. Shukriya, everyone. To be continued tomorrow morning. That's the same.